This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Have you ever wondered why Jesus went to Jerusalem on the back of a donkey that first Palm Sunday, knowing he would be facing certain death, knowing he would be mocked, beaten, and have to face crucifixion? Please continue listening today as we discuss God's love for lost people.
Today I'm thinking of two questions. Why did Jesus do it? Why would the Lord of all eternity take on the limits of the world he created to become a servant riding on the back of a donkey through the gates of Jerusalem, all the while knowing that he was going to endure a beating, suffering, false accusations against him in the trial, and an execution by crucifixion? My second wonder is, have you ever felt lost? In your life, I mean, not directions on a trip. Have you ever felt lost in your spirit? Here's the profound truth of good news because of Jesus Christ. God loves lost people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for this story Jesus told about the father with two sons, one who ran far away from him and became lost, and the older brother who was lost in the father's house. By this story, help us to understand who you are as God in relation to us, that we might again hear the good news of Jesus, his grace and mercy, and the invitation to come home to the heart of our Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The gospel is in Luke 15, beginning with verse 11. Jesus said, "There's a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, 'Give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, this younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen in that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his body with the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. While he was still a long ways off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast. Let's celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come. Your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother was angry and refused to go into the party. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, have never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you killed the fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. but we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Why did he do it? On that first Palm Sunday, riding the back of a donkey, entering Jerusalem's gates with a small band of disciples, singing his praise, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Why would the Lord of eternity, having taken on the limits of the world he created in the form of a man, even now as a servant riding the back of the donkey, knowing that he was going to be executed in the form of crucifixion, why would Jesus, the Lord of life, surrender to his executioners? It's an interesting truth that in that phrase, "peace in heaven," I remember that at his birth, the angels sang, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." So now, when Jesus was born, the Prince of Peace had come to earth to reconcile a broken rebel world to a holy God. And now as he comes through Jerusalem's gates at the beginning of what we call Passion Week, knowing that he's going to the cross, he's about to complete the mission that the Father gave him to reconcile all sinners to a holy God in a relationship of forgiving love by faith. So Jesus willingly became a man. Jesus, though King of eternity, was willing to go to the cross. Why? Because he wanted to obey his Father's mission, and because God loves lost people. Each one of us is precious and important to God. And God, you remember, Jesus said, "I've come to seek and save the lost." God loves lost people. I remember reading a story from a book by Ken Davis. The title is intriguing. "I Never Saw the Skunk, But I Struggled to Breathe." He tells about when he was a newlywed, and as they got ready for the day, his wife had laid her wedding ring on the sink, and he picked it up and thought it would be a fun joke to hide it from her. Well, at the end of the day, before they went to bed, she said casually, "Have you seen my wedding ring?" "No," he said, thinking it'd be fun to extend the joke. Well, several hours later, in the middle of the night, he awakened and heard his wife sobbing uncontrollably. "What's wrong?" he said. "Nothing," she said. "Well, come on now," he said. "Something's terribly wrong." And she blurted out, "I lost my wedding ring." And he said, with a smile of amusement, "Oh, honey, don't worry. I was just playing a joke on you. I hid your wedding ring and thought it'd be fun for you to think it was lost." "What?" she growled. He said he thought he'd be the hero, telling her he had the ring and she didn't have to worry. Instead, it was dark, so he never saw her fist coming, but he sure felt it when it landed, and he said that was the only time in his married life that she ever hit him, and he never again took her wedding ring. Have you ever lost something very precious to you? So much so that you're desperate to find it. Maybe it's your child has wandered off, or maybe it's something of extreme value. You are precious and important to God, our Heavenly Father. And God's heart is desperate to find and enter into a relationship of love with all his children all over the globe. That's why Jesus came. God loves lost people and wants to bring us back into a relationship of grace and forgiveness with Him by faith. When I use the term lost, I'm not talking today about salvation, though it is possible in being lost that we are actually among those that don't understand God's salvation in Jesus Christ. Today I'm using it more as a descriptive term to describe the relationship of our proximity to God. So of the prodigal son who left his father and went to the far country, it says that he was lost. And later when he came home, he was found. It says he was dead, but now is alive again. I'm talking about being lost in the sense of people who are living the journey of life far from God, or living as if God doesn't exist. When I was an 8-year-old boy, I was with my family on a vacation at a lake called Big Wolf Lake in northern Minnesota, close to Bemidji, Minnesota. I and a friend I'd met that week at the resort decided we were going to walk on the beach about a quarter of a mile to a big evergreen tree that hung out over the water, and a rope swing let you swing from the bank and plunge into the water. It was great fun, and we couldn't wait to get there. But that day, as we walked the beach to that rope swing, there was a mean, growling, barking dog barring our way in front of one of the cabins. He was on a chain, but there was no way around him, so we went behind the cabin, and we started on a path into the woods that we thought would take us to that rope swing and that evergreen tree. We went and went farther and farther on that path, thinking we were almost there. And then, much to our shock and disappointment, when we came out of the woods, we were actually several miles away on the south end of the lake. And I remember the sinking feeling, knowing exactly where I was, but having no idea how to return back to the resort or how to get to that tree with a rope swing. I was lost. I knew where I was, but I was lost and powerless to get back home. Have you ever felt like that? Like you're lost in the journey of life? In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells several parables of the lost. The first one is about a lost sheep, and the shepherd leaves the 99 sheep in order to find the one lost sheep that is strayed away and is in peril, and brings it home on his shoulders rejoicing. Then he tells of the woman who's lost a coin, who searches the whole house frantically until she finds it, and then she throws a party that probably costs more than the coin she lost. There are pastors and biblical scholars that refer to a wedding headband that some husbands gave to their wives in biblical times that had 10 coins on the wedding headband. And if the wife were ever unfaithful to her marriage vows, a coin would be removed from that headband. So the woman losing the coin lost more than the coin. In losing the coin, her reputation was at stake. And then Jesus told the story of the two lost sons, one a prodigal and one who was lost in his father's house, one who makes a journey of rebellious defiance, rejecting his father, and the other who stays and does all the right things, but for all the wrong reasons, and never understands the love of his father. That prodigal treats his father like he's dead. He demands the money that would be a part of his inheritance that would come to him only when his father had passed away. All he wants from his father is money. Sometimes we people treat God that way. We live like God is dead, and the only time we pray is if we want something. Give me a job. Bless me with this. Heal my sick child. Give me more money. Bless me, God. Oh, I don't want to be in a relationship with you. I don't want to live in your house. I don't want to serve you. I don't want to share the journey of life with you. I don't believe your values as the core essence of what life is about. I don't want to love. I don't want to serve you. I just want you to provide for me. Give me, God, and I'll go far from you in my life. Well, that prodigal spends all that he has in self-indulgent life. Life is a party, and he can't get enough booze or moments of pleasure to fulfill him. He wants pleasure without any responsibility until he's broke and broken, a Jewish boy in the pig pen. And then a famine comes, and he's desperately in need. I've met so many people through the years who are spiritually and emotionally lost. Lost in grief. Lost in an affair with someone who's not their spouse. Lost in one-night stands with people who are strangers. Lost in depression. Lost in a variety of addictions. Lost in pursuing how the world defines success. And all they're doing as they're lost is chasing self-fulfillment. At some point in our lostness, we all sing the rock song with Mick Jagger. I can't get no satisfaction. So broke and broken, empty and disillusioned, we're lost. It says of the prodigal, though, that he came to his senses. It literally says his right mind returned. It's interesting because the biblical word for repentance means a change of mind. So in awakening to the truth in his bankrupt spiritual condition where he had rebelled against his father, he remembers that he has a father to go home to. And he decides to go home, and he changes his direction of life to turn back to his Father in heaven. God loves lost people. That's why Jesus went to the cross to die for the sins of rebels who have run far from the Father. But I also personally relate very well to the elder brother who stays at home but really does not want to extend grace or mercy to his foolish brother who has spent his father's money. There's no word for grace in his vocabulary. He wants nothing to do with this brother that's returned. And often in my own heart, like that cold-hearted elder brother, I judge people. I decide who God loves and who God doesn't. I decide who God would want to welcome and who he wouldn't. I decide that a life with God is based on merit and performance. But the problem is, in that kind of mindset, I never understand that my relationship with God is based on love and forgiveness from the heart of the Father who comes out of the party to tell the older brother, "All that I have is yours." So wherever you're at on your life journey today, I pray that you would wake up and remember that you have a Father in heaven who loves you. That you would wake up enough to realize that Jesus, the King, was willing to give up all his power to come to earth and even to enter into the gates of Jerusalem in the humility of riding a donkey's back, and he was willing to submit himself to the suffering and whipping and the crown of thorns and the crucifixion, so that in his name we might believe that we have the forgiveness of sin. Are you lost? God loves lost people. His arms are open wide, and he runs to embrace you and say to you, "You're my child. You belong to me. I'll never leave or forsake you. I'll never give up on you. I forgive you. Live in my love." God, it's good to be home. Amen. Father God, today I pray that wherever we find ourselves in our journey of life, that we have the courage to admit when we're lost, when in our rebellion or our foolishness we have strayed away from you. Sometimes you're the shepherd that comes to find us where we've strayed. Sometimes you're the waiting father who searches the road for us to return and then embraces us in a love that is unconditional. Again today, Lord, we thank you that Jesus, your Son, our Savior, went to the cross to take away the sins of the world, to take away my sin, and that you raised him from the dead to give us eternal life. We believe in you, O God. We thank you for the gift of salvation in a relationship of love. Amen. God bless you and keep you now and forever. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has encouraged you on your way as you remember that God loves you and he is waiting to embrace you as you come home to him. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry dependent upon gifts from our listening audience. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of this ministry and enables us to enlarge our broadcast area. For more information on how to include Christian Crusaders in your will, contact our office at 1-888-693-2484. You may also write Christian Crusaders at Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. We thank all those who support this ministry with their prayers and gifts. If you would like to hear today's message again, be sure to check us out on the internet. You will also find copies of messages from past Sundays and many other useful spiritual tools. Visit our website anytime at www.christiancrusaders.org. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing cost is always appreciated. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day, and we pray you will join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service today was our speaker, the Reverend Lee Lavig, pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Spencer, Iowa, and associate speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 80th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.